Day four of Agatha Christie's Timberland. What shall we look at?
So I'm undulating.
Oh, good. I was hoping we could talk about undulations tonight. Okay. Very good, very good.
Yeah, so I'm really appreciating the term, first of all, because everything in nature undulates, you know. What I love about it is it's easy when we're on the downside or the downslope to feel stuck. But undulation is all about movement. Mm-hmm. So I love that image. Mm-hmm. And it's also true. Mm-hmm. And so,
I may with that, because that's one of why I was hoping to talk about it, because of people's difficulty with that. And that whole waves mm-hmm. thing, you know, I mean, it's hard to imagine that the ocean gets upset when there's a downs. You know, it's just the meaning that we give right. to that up and down is...
Right. And how boring the ocean would be if it just was flat.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And not going anywhere. Okay. As you say, it's all about movement.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they see me undulate, so the images are plentiful. So mm-hmm. I really like the image. And it speaks of energy. Mm-hmm. And it also says we can expect this. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to be alarmed. Mm-hmm. So I'm undulating, and I've noticed some things. So this week, for someone involved, you know, who's tuned into politics, has been a rough week. And
I had two different people say to me today, just out of the blue, "Has the world just gone completely insane?" Yeah. What is it? It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're lucky not so much. You've been out there and been exposed.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those trophy times. Mm-hmm. And so the other day I was just in that. And what I got was I'm just in that. And I'll come out of it. Mm-hmm. And whether I'm in it or not doesn't mean things have to change or that they will. Mm-hmm. It's just, I have, there's this movement going on here. Mm-hmm. That's helpful to recognize, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, with the wave thing, I mean, isn't that all the process of movement? I mean, it goes down mm-hmm. and then yeah. it goes up, and then yeah. it can only go up so far, and then it goes down. It's kind of like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
The downside is the thing that it builds the momentum for mm-hmm. the upswing.
Mm-hmm. Can only hope, Sharon.
Yes, yes.
So, but what I was noticing, so this week was a really hard week politically, and, you know, I do some of the, I'm in the Conscious Compassionate Action workshop, and awareness leading to action, I find very helpful. So I do things, I write letters, I make phone calls, I notify friends, and so that all helps to do something with the energy. But what I was also noticing this week was the importance of all the other things. So I had a couple of gatherings with dear friends, and I went to the gym, and I went to yoga, and I'm playing a bell choir, which is just the most fun ever. And very challenging for somebody who can't read music. But I'm doing that, which is so much fun. And what I'm noticing is the importance of doing things that not only are different, or redirect the attention, or move energy, but that are nourishing. Mm-hmm. They're actively nourishing. Mm-hmm. Because I think often the tendency would be, has been from time to time, to shift the energy to something else, but the something else doesn't feed the soul.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes.
But I was just noticing how many things there were just this week that were so nourishing to this being. And appreciating that all that those opportunities are out there,
mm-hmm.
and how important it is to take advantage of them, just you know, for the saving and the salvation of this being.
Yes. Well, I would project, with you, and I think I am, that those activities bring you back to center.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The other
ones. Not just distractions.
That's right. And the other ones are kind of out there into, and, you know, whatever. It's we could have whatever beliefs or assumptions about caring, about what happens to people and the planet and things like that. There are people who would want us to think that we shouldn't be concerned about that. It's just all in God's hands, and so don't worry about anything. And so we could be very wrong about that, but some of us have that orientation. And so doing something to try to assist in some way to help somebody or make something better, but it's not the same. It's a subtle difference that you're pointing at, but it's a powerful one. That's not necessarily the same as something that just plain old brings you back to the present.
Yeah.
The way something for the soul mm-hmm. can do.
And something for the planet, and something for life, it feels like, something that's life-giving. Mm-hmm. And where that all came together for me today was when I was in the garden. Mm-hmm. I thought, thank God I'm in a garden, you know. Mm-hmm. And watching those plants, they don't care about politics. They're just growing.
That's right.
And so I just felt, in the midst of all this, I felt really blessed mm-hmm. that those activities are there, and that I have available to me that experience. Mm-hmm. That I was going to say it's kind of an antidote to the other, but they're not an antidote. They are what they are, mm-hmm. but they have an antidoting effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. One of the things when times are not so challenging politically, people will get just caught up in stuff, as we do. And the encouragement to do something, to use the energy that builds up often through a conversation with ego, use it for something that takes care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a walk. Mm-hmm. Be in nature. Mm-hmm. Be in the garden.
Be in group.
Be in group. Do something with that energy that gives the energy back to you.
Yeah.
Because, of course, what ego, that system is constantly trying to do is get the energy away from you. Get into your head, think about something, feel bad, and then there goes the energy.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
First of all, thank you for being here. I'm aware we're in the middle of an email class, and I'm always like,
I have to tell you, with this one, now I keep getting reassurances. No, you've done things like this before, but it's one of those. I'm not sure this is going to be possible. You know, I'm just not sure there are enough hours in the day, or strength in the little fingers. But it's coming together. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your good wishes.
Yeah, gosh, exactly. That's exactly what's going on. Well, I'd like some assistance, which I think I'm always looking for assistance, is just to take a step back, a little wider view of things, and undulations, I think, probably fits in. It was interesting, right, when you turned to me and said, well, not you so much, you were just exposed to that. I felt this emotion come up, like tears were going to come out or something, and it's not a completely unfamiliar thing when I come back from off-property, and there's kind of been lots of different things connected to that. One of them, the words coming up is feeling victimized, which is kind of, it just came up, it wasn't what I was thinking about earlier. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's interesting.
And can you say more? Is it just a feeling not connected to anything, or is it connected to
I think going out there and being exposed to what's going on. Uh-huh. I mean, I think there's a story anytime you feel victimized. But what I was noticing while I was out there was, well, it seems like a heightened level of sensitivity to, you were just talking about damage to the planet. I'm looking at the damage to people. And not out there, but in my house with my family,
mm-hmm.
who are really, you look around, like, these are all really good people. And the conversation, I think if anyone was watching, would just be like, oh, this kind of sounds like a normal family conversation. But where I was feeling that was like, ow, you know, or just those the tones, the kind of the put downs that are couched in the joke. And then I was watching my reaction. There was a slight like ouch compassion, and then I felt like I spent a lot of time trying to change that, trying to offer another perspective, or judging. And that felt like an ouch too.
Even though maybe nobody knew you were ouching them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's a story, and it's just sort of like bummed out about that. You know? Like, because I live here, and I know that it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. And it really highlighted, you know, where I live. Those things, because we live in a privileged environment, those things don't happen. In fact, what comes through is just, and I'm experiencing it from the minute I stepped on the property, well, really, the time I got picked up in the car to come back, till now, just kindness after kindness. Mm-hmm. Just, but silent kindness. Mm-hmm. No fanfare, just love, incredible attention. You know, I have a few folks off property, and the way that I was set up for that was just exquisite. The details, the attention, the beauty, and there was no conversation about that. You know, no relationship, just kindness and care, and that's a wow.
And it is particularly I don't know what the word is, but when we witness, as you say, your family are really good people. You know, they're kind, loving people doing the very best that they can. Mm-hmm. And still, that's there. And whether we're, you know, even if we've gotten armored against it, it's still painful. To be in that, I see it, so much of it, doing something like an email class, where people talk about their interior. You know, I mean, if we met these people on the street, I mean, they are good, kind people living good, kind lives. Mm-hmm. And inside, there's so much hurting.
Yeah.
And
it's hard to
see it. You know,
it
you
is.
Do kind of want to say, "Doesn't have to be this way."
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I could. It's like what would happen is I could hear my mom talking to me or my dad or whatever, and then I could see the process about, I can almost see, like, whatever she was saying, that's what's being done to her. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of picking at my dad, or the having to say more than once, "You didn't know that? You didn't know that?" Mm-hmm. You know, like, "You idiot." Mm-hmm. You know, and I could just, my dad doesn't seem to take it in, but I imagine that's going on for her. Mm-hmm. You know, that...
That constant put down comparison, the jabs,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess it's just interesting to spend a lot of my life, like you said, hurting, but not sensitive.
Yeah.
And now it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Because I live in kindness most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think there was. So anyway, so then there's been this transition back, and there's now, you know, it's like ego has a lot of content that it can talk to me about now, just being out there and seeing people and maybe this too. But there's also something much larger holding it all. You can feel that hand. Mm. And I think kind of like with the undulations, like it's all okay.
Yes.
You know, I don't know, what keeps coming up is I just want to... give deep gusho to everybody involved, me, everybody alive, all of life.
Right. Yeah.
Just, I guess, compassion.
Yeah. And that, where were we just talking about? It's so.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But that realization that it's all for me. To me, that's where the desire to just kind of deep gusho or fall down in a full prostration. That all of this is being done for me, and the kind of, again, I don't know what the word would be, but when we realize that we're that kind of opportunity for one another, you know, that everything everybody's doing, all the struggles, all the awfulness, all the mess that we bring to it, is here for our awakening. Mm-hmm. And so realizing that, you know, everything that we come in contact with, we have a chance to be with that from a place of compassion. And we are that for, we're part of that mix for everybody else. So it's not like, you know, you don't have to feel bad that everybody's doing this for you. We're all playing the same role.
That's helpful. Just that when you were saying that, to talk about it's all for my awakening and your awakening, whoever's looking, and you have to be here to take that perspective, because I can see where it's trying to pull me. It's kind of this hopeless, which I actually almost never feel like, but I guess it could feel a little overwhelming. Until I come back to that place.
Yes.
And then I'm here, and then there's nothing wrong, and it's not hopeless at all. In fact, you know, I also have a lot of compassion for Scott, because he was in the same boat. You know, like, that would trigger him, and then he's trying to change how they behave, and then he's judging them, and he's being judged, and he's in the same pot.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, and then there's this, you know, just leaving here, it gives me a little bit of distance and appreciation. The radio show, I mean, what an oasis.
The
morning radio, well, both radio shows, you know, that anybody can, I mean, gosh, and the way people are using them, and there's other possibilities.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned this morning about the talk here on Sunday morning, and how Sequoia started us off with this just great kind of an awkward picture of how much is involved in every little bit of awakening. You know, that it's just, they're just the, you know, the myriad, the jillions of things, attitudes and beliefs and assumptions and opinions and we're not even aware of them. But this little step by little step by little step, we're becoming aware of it, we're seeing him, we're realizing it. Then those all kind of go together in a little thing, and we have an awareness, and you know, and that falls away, and that's just happening in every direction, all around, down below us, and here we go, you know, going along, and everybody is. Everybody is. So, you know, we can look at your mother, you know, with a, you didn't know that. And we can just know that at some point she's going to hear that. You know, and the way that we have done that, been there for ourselves, you know, it just takes however many times it takes of being in a position, saying something, feeling something, projecting, believing something, and then all of a sudden there's that, oh, and we catch on, and we're different. But before that, it's just not possible for us to have a different relationship with whatever that is.
Yeah.
And we're all doing that all the time.
So helpful. Because, of course, what's happening to me is just a bunch of judgment. It seems like, you know, after so many practice, that you should be able to be different with your family. I mean, you know, is, you know, that kind of thing.
And you can say, yes. And I'm sure one day I will be.
I am right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that place of just all the little bits, you know, here behind, up around, just the universe conspiring.
So yes.
Whether we're here or not, it loves us. It's just doing it.
Yeah.
It's just happening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's so much patience for us.
Right.
You know,
because right. We not have the patience.
Yeah. It's really big. And we don't know where anybody else is. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. You know, we just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were kind of doing a numbers thing, somebody over there who looks like they're just being the jerk of the world could be 95% free, and they're just working on their last 5%. And we go like, what a jerk.
Yes.
Whereas we, on the other hand, could be working on our 95%.
I think we are on the other hand.
And that 5% that we have covered. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, I've been totally insulated. I have no idea.
It was probably bad when you left.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, well,
it was.
You might as well just stay, okay?
just post a note of Canada. It goes away, or something happens there. Where?
No. No, smarty pants. Canada is fine.
Okay, good. Still standing.
And we're all available for adoption.
Oh, great. Excellent. I'll start the proceedings. Get a northern satellite monastery going. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Undulations was exactly what I was looking at. I had an intimate look at it yesterday. The whole thing, from beginning to end, it was spectacular. I was caught in a story of assumptions, and it triggered a landslide of conditioning and self-hate. I was given guidance from the monastery that I assumed a certain activity. That activity was not planned, was not going to proceed at all.
Or you were living in your own little reality.
I was in my own universe. This universe, this bubble was burst, kindly, and very compassionately. And then the sensation started, which I had not felt for quite a long time. Really severe sensations. And before I knew it, within an hour, I'm like, wow, I'm at the very bottom, in the trough, in the deep, deep hole. And then guidance dropped in that you and I discussed earlier about accept, embrace, let go. And that was a little mantra. So I'm in there, and now there's no energy. So I had a big build of energy, because I recorded about it last night. Then conditioning came in and took all that energy that it created through this mishap that it had set up, right? So it's a setup. I got bamboozled. Then there was I did something wrong or whatever. So then by mid-afternoon, that still small voice, when it's been nice, we've been walking to the creek after lunch. It's been a beautiful experience when it hasn't been raining. And the resistance and discussion around going to the creek in that trough was about as impossible as anything.
There's not Everest.
Right.
You have an hour and a half. Go.
Yes. And just felt like that little hand guy on my lower back. Before I knew it, I'm at the turn off at the creek. There's the little sign. I'm like, we're going. I don't know if I can make it. And physically didn't feel like it. It's kind of downhill most of it, but that was the whole point. We'll get you down there. the trip home. We're never gonna make it back for Bell. And then we're at the creek. And we're still in it, and we're still in it, and we're like, wow, we got here, wow. We got here, okay. Okay, and then we're just like, well, oh, we really kind of close, but we got to make it back up. And we got back up, and that's fine, we made it. And then just all of this...
Did the energy change with that thought?
Phenomenally, by that sit. No, yeah, it was right before the sit, yes. Yes, and then I'm in the sit. Well, it didn't change... It then really came in during the sit with extreme fatigue. I was nodding off, but I could barely stay awake. Mm. So that was the pinnacle of the lowest energy. Mm. In fact, I was afraid sometimes that I should fall and hit the wall. I was like, holy, like I made the whole...
But isn't that a jolt of energy?
Yeah. Hold that.
A minute there and then...
Like the electrical shock. Yeah. So I did that for 30 minutes. And then, right into working meditation. Blessed blessed to have that. And I had scheduled quite a physical activity for it. Quite a deep cleaning, a lot of movement, a lot of components. And it was a lifesaver. That 2 hours of word meditation was a lifesaver because I got to redistribute that energy and move it, and I got to read instructions, and I got to follow steps, and I didn't get to have better ideas, didn't need to go to conditioned mind, because there was all that kindness, it was all laid out, and by 5:36,
you're back.
I was just like, wow, where have I been? It was like a journey. In that such a short span, usually those undulations, that trough, are weak. So they're so gradual, and they're so long, and they're such coming out is so slow that I don't get a chance to see the process of how it's doing it to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't get a chance to, there's the still small voice or the mentoring or the recording listening. It's just like a series of 10, 15, 20 recordings of this depression. But last night's recording was like, you know, A through Z. Down into the trough, out of the trough. Within 6 hours. Which is like, wow. Wow. And all the tools of practice, and got to see a ton. And just, I was just, after that, I was just writing down awarenesses after insight, one after insight, because I had so many of it. Mm-hmm. And that recording last night, when I got home, it was about 35 minutes. And I listened to it this morning, I was like, wow, that's one I've got to put at the very beginning.
I want that to walk.
Yeah, because that trough, that's the karmic tendency for me to go there. Mm-hmm. And everything was acting out, but it was acting out in such a compressed sense of time that there was no opportunity for any karmic behaviors to play out.
Yeah. It
which normally there would be.
Yeah, you couldn't be distracted.
Right.
It was all happening too fast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because when it's in a very, very slow continuum, I get super identified, and I don't feel like I had any opportunity to disidentify, where yes, I did. I had the disidentification, which is the upswing. Mm-hmm. And then karmically, all these conditioned behaviors play out, and it, everything goes very chaotic and unskillful, and it's a big mess. Mm-hmm. Whereas yesterday it was just down, up, and down,
right.
On that
low,
and nothing kind of, yeah, it was just, like you said, in a ski slope, you're just, mm-hmm. You know.
Wonderful. And it's one of those places where you don't really look forward to that happening again, right?
It's so funny you say that.
Because it probably won't for a long time.
Right.
You have the recording.
But I had the recording, but it dropped in this morning. Exactly what you said. It's like, wow, I survived that really severe one, really compressed. I'm looking forward to another one. To really just see it again. And I heard you guide us that, you know, when you're in it, just really, if you're in the dark room, look at every corner, every nuance, and I've never been able to do that.
Ew.
Yeah. just really, you know, look at every nuance and every detail, and I've never been able to do that. I've been.
But this happened.
Yeah.
This was truly a workshop.
It was intense, super intense. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I really saw when I was recording last night is when I was at the very, very bottom, even though the storage is saying, oh, this is it. This is the depression. This is the comet leaf. This is fear. This is going to last forever. I didn't buy any of that where I normally used to. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh yeah, I've heard that. But it's just like, okay, well, we'll see.
Probably not.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then the last thing, the corner of my life did was the Truman Show, the last scenes of it. I don't know if I'm giving anything away here, but such a great training movie where Jim Carrey's in the boat and everything's being thrown at him, and then he survives it to the next morning. He goes, is that all you got? That's what I said at the end. Is that all you got? Because it would throw more if it hadn't.
Oh, exactly so. Yeah. You know what could be fun? Maybe you've done this. I mean, I know you've done this at other times, but to listen to that recording and make a process map.
Oh, brilliant. Thank
you. So that
you
write out everything that it says, everything that you did, everything that you felt,
and
put that up, because that's just another way of taking it in.
It's so, I just got a stack of stickies from the guest master. So I was looking at another process map, but that one I want to do specifically. Because it's a huge chunk of karma that I've been basing over and over and over.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah. And you can see your whole life in that.
My whole life was in yesterday. In that 6 hour span, my whole life was there. And I've got a great white wall of expanse with the big process.
Just looking for stickies.
And it's just it's begging, begging for work. So thank you, Sherry.
You're most welcome.
You sent an email class. You taught, let's see, we're looking at the undulation of life, not so much what the undulations of egocentric karmic conditionings of hate. And I've not been able to put it together.
Well, may I just clarify that? What I'm hoping that people will explore with this is that resistance from ego is not the undulation we're looking at. Because that's what a lot of people get caught in. So if it's practice, you know, I really want to practice, I'm really excited, and then I don't want to practice. I don't feel like it, I don't want to do it. That's not the one that I'm hoping people will see. So which is the one I'm hoping people will see? That sometimes we have a lot of energy. So people talk about, you just did that thing. Did you notice that you did that thing? We're talking about we're aware and off come the clothes.
Oh, man.
Put it all back on again. Calm down. So say you're doing a project. Well, painting. Okay, and you love to paint, and there are times when you really love to paint, and all you want to do is paint. And then there are some times when you don't feel like painting. You're doing something else, right? And there are times when people really want to meditate. Just would meditate all day if they could. And then there are other times when. Is it really time to meditate again? So that kind of up and down.
So that's the don't want to or don't feel like it. In the cases you're talking about, aren't egos resistant?
Well, I doubt that you would hear, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. That's the difference.
If there were ego's resistance, you wouldn't hear
it. You would hear it. You're going to, it's time to paint, or you're going to go to a class or something like that, and you start hearing, I don't want to. I don't want to. I'm tired. Go next week. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. That's not an undulation. That's ego resisting and pitching a fit about not being in control of whatever is happening. But there would also be times when I really don't feel like it. I just don't have a lot of energy for this. But you do it anyway. Mm-hmm. So if we go back to meditation, you're really enthused and excited about it, and then you're not so enthused and excited about it, but you still do it. Because what you're operating off of is another perspective than being identified with ego and just, I want to do this, I don't want to do that. So one of the things that I've been talking about people, been talking to people a lot today anyway, is the not basing what you do on how you feel, which is just a huge and essential in awareness practice. In the world, that's what people are jerked around by. You know, I want to, okay, I don't want to, well, then I'm not going to. And that's taking care of me, right? So, again, if it's meditation, you know, I worked really hard today. It takes care of me not to meditate. Well, no, it doesn't. The fluctuations of the energy, the fluctuations of the interest, yes. But that's not the same as the ego throwing on the brakes to, or, you know, building up a lot of energy about something. You know, that's not the crest, actually, of the undulation either. The, you know, ego being all wound up because it's getting something that it wants. So I don't know if this is just too subtle a difference, but I'm really hoping that that's what people are going to get out of it. In the same way that I'm hoping people will get that two sides of a duality are not an undulation either. Yeah. That would be the wave, loving the crest, hating the trough. This is kind of hanging together.
And so, yeah. So around getting into breaking the wrist, okay, that I can easily see that as a light trough. You know, that, or it's just what happened.
Yes.
You know, and well, okay, I see what you're saying. It's not the content of what happens in life. It's it's just the energy moving.
That's right.
The energy just moves in cotton and crests and troughs where life is concerned. Mrs. Floyd, they're not crests and troughs. They're just...
Well, they really are. And sometimes, well, I mean, yes, but it's just a way of talking about sometimes you're here and sometimes you're here. So with the breaking your wrist, you know, you it was a different life experience from what had been happening the week, the month before. And so you have two ways to be with that, at least two ways to be with that. One is, oh God, okay, well, this is a big mistake, and I hate this, and I don't want this to be happening. Or, this is really interesting. Wow, of course you can't say I've never had this experience before, because you have with that very thing, but say you hadn't. This is really interesting to watch what happens with me when this goes on. Okay, what happens? Because the voices will say, this is awful, this is a mistake, this should have never happened, or, well, you know, I don't have to do the dishes, or, you know, whatever is going on about it. But being aware of what's happening with you, what karmic conditioning is coming up, what the voices are saying, how you get caught in this, or your, that's what makes a workshop. Or retreat,
yeah.
Right? And so within that, so there you are, completely committed to this workshop of having broken wrists. And sometimes the energy, you have a lot of energy, feel really good. Sometimes you don't have so much energy, don't feel so good. Sometimes you, but the point of it that I would, I'm hoping people will get is that winter doesn't hate summer.
Mm-hmm.
And summer doesn't hate winter. They're very different life experiences, but they're not mistakes, and we don't need to decide which one we prefer. It's just go along.
Thank you. So when I consider undulations, I get to a place, a very familiar place, that I kind of know the answer to, but living it, I don't live in the answer to it. It's I don't know. I often wonder if I'm kind of here and accepting, or whether I'm flatlined. And it's that is a big, that's a, I've been practicing or working with that for as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you're here and
the big clue, it's when, well, I don't know. I think that's a scam. I think what I just said is a scam. Because when I really look at it, the difference is clear.
Yes, and you know what? That I think is the point I'm trying to make. The difference is clear between what is an ego manipulation and what is a natural movement of life. So if I think it is for me anyway, it's just fun and difficult to imagine things being other than the way they are. So what would life be like if you had no voice talking to you inside your head? You know, I mean, that's just we watch the animals, left to themselves, they'll get up and walk around for a while, and then they'll lie down and take a nap. They'll get up and walk around for a while and do something, and lie down and take a nap. And I've always been fascinated by that, because it's like you can watch the life force move in them. It reaches a certain point, they get up and go around and do something, drops down again, they lie down. We make a big deal out of it. Us. You know, I need a coffee. Yeah. Or I need a nap. You know, if it's all a meaning rather than.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I haven't seen the meaning that gets attached to just all kinds of things all through the days.
Remember, human beings are meaning-making machines. This is a meaning-making machine. This head. So anyway, those are the kinds of things that I'm hoping that it'll just kind of stir up conversation about with people, because one of the great difficulties in spiritual practice or awareness practice is that when people hit egos, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, the assumption is you should just quit. Because the biggest bamboozle of all, as we all know, is people think the voice in their head is them.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just lost interest. So might as well quit. If somebody said today, I mean, I don't know what they said, but I read it today, that it describes when they're on the upswing, when they're on the top, it's why practice? I feel so great. I should just quit. And then when they're in the bottom, practice isn't working. I should just quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, If you don't have disidentification going there, you know, some distance on that, that all makes perfect sense. And the other one, of course, that I'm really hoping people start catching on to is the duality. That's what's going on just constantly in people's heads. You know, should I, shouldn't I? Do I, don't I? What? And how much does that influence what people experience as undulation? How much is imposed from between our ears, and how much is just the movement of life?
I think I did. Let's see. Believing the voice in my head. Some things just, I mean, a lot of stuff just makes just no question. No, you know, I don't, just a vast amount of that. And then there are places where it says, no, I don't want to, I don't hear it, I don't catch it, I just don't.
Yes, and that's exactly the kind of thing. With that, we want to start a list.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
No. So all the things I don't, I got to get a list of those. Right? And all the things I do, I need to get a list of those. So I can just switch them.
Okay.
I had that this evening. I was tired from my day, and I guess I kind of nodded off for a little bit, and I woke up, and it was 6:15, and I went, oh, good. Oh, I'm tired. And it's so cold.
Oh.
But I was saying all that as I was getting up and getting a sweater and, you know. So it seems like, as you're talking about this, the undulations, which is really helpful, because I think I was thinking I kind of understood it, but I think I wasn't understanding it. I think I was putting the content in there and the energy, mixing it all up. But it seems like, you know, like when you say winter doesn't hate summer, and summer doesn't, that I had this feeling that if we're here, it's all just interesting. Or even if we're not here, but we're practicing, we know we're practicing,
it doesn't be interesting.
It doesn't matter whether we're in the trough or the top of the swell, kind of in a way. It's all the energy of life expressing. And all of that that meaning is kind of added on to it, and just for the sake of suffering.
Yes. Yes, added on for the sake of suffering.
Yeah.
Because what Clive was talking about, you know, there you are watching. So something happens, and the energy just plummets.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching it. Okay. Well, that happened. Right? And then you go along, and you're listening to life's guidance, and boop, there's the creek. There's the road to the creek. All right, let's go. Right? And so the energy is still down there in the soles of your shoes, but okay, and this is what we're doing.
Yeah, none of that has to do with life. I mean, okay. With what you're doing, yeah.
How the voice in the head says I feel, doesn't need to dictate what I do.
Mm. Yeah.
Those are two completely separate issues.
In fact, if I get up and do something that I'm being told I don't want to, frequently it changes.
It's
not even true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not really.
And suddenly you have the energy that you thought you didn't have.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just being outside in fresh air and you know, oh, there's a bird or there's a, you know, whatever. There's a completely different experience happening then. Mm-hmm. Just because of not listening to the voice's meaning of what's going on.
Yeah.
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 So that's really good to keep in mind.
Yeah, you know. Because you can enjoy the bird whether you have, you're feeling a lot of energy or no energy.
Yeah, and it's all just different experiences that all make up a full life.
Yes, and if we go back to the doing the things that feed the soul, mm-hmm. So we don't have to be in a story about how I feel to walk outside and listen to the birds sing. Mm-hmm. But if we listen to a story about how I feel, mm-hmm. The meaning that's being given to whatever is going on, I won't do that.
Right. Right. Like if I could have just sat where I was and pulled that little down
little rug up over
that
head.
Little down thing right over me and
yeah. Group.
Yeah. And I'm very happy that I'm here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all just really interesting when you start to, you know, kind of parse it out that way.
Right. And so with that, I don't know. It's cold. I'm tired. Well, you need to, though. You should.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
You should. You should. But I don't want to. Yeah, but it's Thursday night.
Yeah.
What you do, it's your practice. But I don't want to. And I mean, you can see somebody's whole life just go from duality, that kind of duality, to another kind of duality, to another kind. And if we have a habit of indulging that conversation, then that's where our life will go.
Yeah.
Because I want to eat that. When you, no. Now you know you said you weren't going to eat that. And so, no.
Yeah, and if we do it because we should, we're not getting from it what we get if we just do it. Because that's what I realized when you were talking, is that I didn't have that conversation that I should go. I knew underneath it all I wanted to go.
And you're
so
going.
I just got up and
yep.
Got what I needed, you know, flashlight, box, and out the door we went without really any conversation. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that was really different, or that it was a good experience to
right.
do that with.
Yeah, oh yeah. And it's what we could learn as children, and almost none of us did. Mm-hmm. You know, if parents would just go, I know you don't want to. I hear you. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What a different world.
What a different world, yeah.
But instead we got to have that battle because you need to want to go, okay?
Right.
In order to be the right person, you need to want to go. And so we're just going to fight it out until you want to go, which just results in, I don't want to and I hate you.
Exactly.
And I'm going to fight for my right not to.
Yes.
As soon as I get big enough, I'm only ever going to
do what I want to do.
And, oh my God, can you imagine? This is just a red letter day for ego.
Yeah.
Another one for our side.
Yeah, right. I see screw tape in that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for talking about that. I'm going to look more carefully at
what's
the undulation. And so, I've been having, I think, I got some kind of a update, you know, when they insist you need to get updates to make your computer work better.
Oh, yeah. I'll do this for all our things.
Yeah, and now mail from livingcompassion.org and all the other email addresses are all going into junk and this and that, and I'm so mad about it because I have to go searching all the time for where things are. And so I haven't gotten anything yet. I just was wanting to check. Things are coming out already for it to read?
Yeah.
Okay.
Many of them.
Really?
I think if you Google how to prevent that, you can find out. There's a fix.
How to prevent your...
certain addresses from going into your junk.
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting mail from livingcompassion.org for years.
And it's time to put a
and now,
stop to that.
Now they're missing it.
Apple has declared.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I'll look into that. Yeah.
You got some reading to catch up on.
I had this really good experience, this really interesting experience this week. So, we got the email Tuesday about the class, and it said we do this by 9 o'clock on Wednesday, and at 5 p.m. Wednesday, I thought, oh, damn, I didn't do it. Well, I didn't even say, oh, damn, I just said, oh, I didn't do it. And what was so interesting to me was there was absolutely no self-hate. It was just like, oh, I didn't do it. Well, what can I do? I can do 300 recordings. I can read the class. The mentor will have things to say, and then I'll do the second one. It was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, I'm sorry I missed the class, but it was interesting because it wasn't like I thought, my God, I have self-hate about this.
Right.
It was like there was no self-hate.
Uh-huh.
It's just like I blew it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, where do we go from here?
Yeah, okay. And I love it. Well, I'll do the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, and meantime, there are things I can do because we all have tools now. So I don't know what Sherry would say, but I can see what the mental would say. Yeah. And the mental has things to point to, and then I can read all the other the class responses, and that will all tell me stuff. And then when class two comes around, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it creates so much space.
Yes. What a great way to phrase it. Because all of that crapola in the head of you didn't and you blew it, and how could you, and what were you doing, and what is the matter with you, and how long have you been practicing, and all of that is just such chaos and bedlam out there.
You know, years ago, I remember we were at Carmel, and I was at Point Lobos. And, you know, I had to get back for guidance and realized I was going to be late. And I was walking. So I remember I was going to, you know, walk really fast. And I came around out of the park. This voice in my head, a good voice in my head, said, don't miss the view.
Wow.
So I slowed down. And I thought I'd be late anyway. That felt like, in a sense, the same thing happened. It's like, okay, so that got missed. So what's the view? You know, like, what's available, and I had a very peaceful walk back past you giving guidance to someone else, and I knew I'd missed it, but it was the same phenomenon. Then what's here now?
Yeah, I had a friend who would say, you didn't get late now, and there it is,
yeah.
You know, okay, well, that happened. And so that doesn't need to dictate this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how restful.
Yeah, it really was.
And it's not the same as
not at all.
Not it. But that's what the voice would tell us until we came on to, well, actually that's not true.
Yeah, if I went to, and there have been times in my life I've done that too, I don't care. Well, I do, so I'm unhappy. Mm-hmm. And what doesn't open up are the options that are available. Because I'm stuck in this kind of defensive, resisting posture.
Mm-hmm. Rather than back to what we were talking about earlier, okay, well, what's there for me in this?
Yeah.
Because this is a workshop, so what's the gift here?
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.